It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. We are going through the top 30 modern day Saints. And, you know, the nice thing is I don't have to go and mine that kind of 2000 to 2005 range, which I would argue is my weakest point in Saints history of this list in terms of me actually because I don't think a lot of people watch the Saints from 2000 to 2005. Let's be real. I mean, if you're a Saints fan, yes. But from a national perspective, there wasn't a ton of attention on this team. So me being not from here originally, my exposure to the Saints was mostly through, you know, Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. Like, I knew very much about Deuce McAllister. I knew about Aaron Brooks. I knew about Joe Horn. I remember vividly when he pulled the cell phone out. But it's just not, you know, that's not going to be an era that appears on this list that much. So keep that in mind going forward. And so 25, this was a player that you talked me into moving up a little bit because you're probably right, but it's a tough player to gauge.
Right.
And it's going to be Mr. Taysom Hill. You know, what position do you even like when you put him on this list? What do you call him? I guess he's a quarterback. Like, I think technically he's played the most snaps at quarterback, but whatever you want to call him, it's Taysom Hill. And I mean, like, it's so tough to, like, when you're talking about impact. So he has the luxury of being on that 2018 team. So that helps him because, you know, and we talked about this off air, but, you know, yeah. I weigh the Super Bowl roster heavier, right? You win a Super Bowl, you get a lot more credit on this list. If you were on that 2018 roster that had the Super Bowl effectively robbed from you, I'm not going to weigh that as heavily as winning the Super Bowl, but I am going to weigh it a lot more heavily than any other era that was not on the 2018 roster, because, like, we don't know if they would have won a Super Bowl if not for the greatest, most egregious no call of all time. So Taysom being on that list, I'll give him credit for in that range, right? Like Ryan Ramczyk. There's a handful of other players who I'm going to give a little bit more credit to because, you know, while they don't have a Super Bowl on their resume, they probably should. So Taysom Hill, just an all around, just great team player. He really, statistically speaking, kind of came onto the scene in 2018. In his career, you're talking about a guy with 398 carries, 2,159 rushing yards, 27 rushing touchdowns. That's a big number for a guy who's not a running back. He also has 11 receiving touchdowns, and I had his passing numbers here too, and 11 passing touchdowns. Like, he's doing stuff that no one does.
Exactly.
Right? Like, you're talking about a Jim Thorpe type impact, and there's no way you can leave him off this list. You can argue where he should be. You could argue he should be a little higher. You could argue he should be a little lower, but when you look at, like, where would this team have been the last couple years without Taysom? And what would the offense have looked like the last couple years of the Drew Brees era without Taysom? Like, we talk about that divisional round game against the Bucs. You know, that's a tough one because I think that 2020 team could have won a Super Bowl if not for injuries, right? When you're talking about Mike Thomas was playing on one foot, he didn't catch a pass in that game. But one of the bigger absences that no one talks about, Taysom didn't play in that game. Taysom got a concussion against the Bears and was not available for that Bucs game. Deontay Hardy also got hurt early in that game. So, you know, I think, like, the Saints, in hindsight, were the best chance to beat the Bucs in that season, and you really never found out. That's not helping Taysom Hill's candidacy here, but I don't feel I feel pretty strongly that he should be in this top 30. And 26, 25 is where I'm going to put him right now.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't approve of the list at all without Taysom being top 30. You mentioned all the things he does, obviously. The Swiss Army knife that everybody loves. And, man, even special teams, and not just as a return man, also in coverage units. We know he's had blocks. Just a guy that you ask Taysom to do something, he's going to be there for you. And someone that fights for every inch, goes hard every single play. I laughed one time because Taysom got tackled in front of me one year. I was on the sideline in Atlanta, and he's giggling on his way down, you know, to the field, and gets up, dusts himself off, and runs right back up there. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, and again, this is not an objective list. This is very much an emotion-driven list. And, you know, one of the things that, even if you look beyond the stats, which the stats kind of tell the story of, like, this is a guy who has had an outsized impact on this offense. Just his willingness to do everything. Like, you have to appreciate the sacrifices he's made to fulfill this role. Like, why aren't there other Taysom Hills in the NFL? Ask yourself that question. You think there are no athletes?
I think we say, like, Tim Tebow could have been the initial version of Taysom.
Right. Like, you don't think that there's been other quarterbacks who were elite athletes that could have had this type of impact? I mean, not many of them, but some. Yes, of course there are. What's the difference? Taysom maybe didn't embrace it at first.
Selfless.
But he did what was asked of him.
Yeah.
Right. And over time, he did embrace it, especially once it became clear that it's like, you're not going to be a quarterback. Figure it out. And so I give him all the credit in the world for that. And so, like, to me, that puts him, that raises him in my mind. Whether you agree with that or not, from a statistical perspective, you can't take that away in terms of, like, he exists in the form that he does because he's willing to do it. Like, he's able to do it too, but he's also willing to do it. And this says a lot about, like, you know, that's, anyway, like, there are a lot of people in the NFL that you could say, like, there's just an elite player, but a questionable person, like, from a, right, you know, from a team morale perspective, from a culture building perspective, there's no questionable when it comes to Taysom in that regard. So that we went long on this one because it's a Taysom name that is Taysom. Like, how can you not? But I don't feel questionable about it at all. Next guy on the list, and we're going to keep it super modern. Like, this is a modern day Saints list, but this is extra modern. And it's center Eric McCoy at number 24. It's just another example of, like, how do you weigh a offensive lineman versus a wide receiver versus a Taysom Hill? The consistency you've gotten out of Eric, the quality you've gotten out of Eric. You know, it's easy to forget, like, the Saints were in a really tough spot roster-wise in 2019. They were going into this season without Max Unger, who retired suddenly. They did not prepare for this. He retired, and the team suddenly had to be like, okay, we now have old man Drew Brees and no center and no replacement. You know, from a cap perspective, they were already kind of in that all-in mode. Where do you spend that money to go get the guy who needs to stand in front of Drew Brees and protect him? They didn't have a first-round pick. To, like, you could say, like, hey, you have a first-round pick, and in most cases, you probably wouldn't want to reach for a center. In this case, you got to go get a center because you got to do it. And then you're like, are we going to trust a rookie to do that? And what you did was you traded up in the second round, you go get Eric McCoy, and you have not looked back since. He's been that solid from day one of his career, and it's not over, right?
Right.
Like, you could argue that he's only been in the league 5 years, so maybe I'm overvaluing that, but he just had his best year of his career. Like, he was a Pro Bowler for the first time in 2023. He should have been a Pro Bowler more. Like, he should have gotten more accolades to this point, but I just think, like, he is the anchor of that offensive line on a group that has been really sketchy over the last couple seasons. He has been the anchor of that group. And so, I mean, you could definitely argue and make a good argument that he should be lower, but I don't think that he should be outside the top 30 at any stretch. And I think 24 is a good spot for him.
No, you mentioned it too with Drew Brees. He didn't have to worry about making the calls at the line because Drew was taking care of all that. But once Drew was gone, that was something that Eric had to inherit when Jameis took under center.
Yeah, and I mean, day one, just consistent. You know, he did almost get in a fight with Derek Carr last year. I guess you could say he did get in a fight with Derek Carr last year. But oh, like,
from a match, sure.
It's another example of like, okay, like a locker room guy.
Right.
You know, when you get in a on-field screaming match with your quarterback and you're able to spin that positively in the locker room, I think that says a lot about you as a player and as a person. And you could say, like Derek gets credit for that too. Like, there could have been resentment there. I don't think that it would have behooved any quarterback in the history of time to get in a protracted argument with your offensive lineman. Like, you're gonna kind of fold there to some extent and be like, all right, well, you're right. Okay, move on. But I just think, like, the way Eric handled it, the way he's kind of taken over that room as a leader this year, and we'll see if that group comes together and is a solid offensive line this year. You know who I'm going to point to and say, thank that guy? It's going to be Eric. So we'll see. Either way, I don't have any questions about that. The next three are kind of are tough because they are three wide receivers and all three of them are on the Super Bowl roster. So we can kind of talk about all three at once. And so I have 23 Devery Henderson, 22 Lance Moore, 21 Robert Meacham. Now, I have a hard time separating these guys. Statistically, they're all pretty much in the same area. They all get credit for being around for that Super Bowl, and they all get credit for kind of being the strong members of that offense for an extended period of time. So we'll go through. So Devery Henderson is the first one I have on that list. So we'll just kind of go through some stats here, right? So he was a second-round pick of the Saints. He was number 50 overall out of LSU. In his career, 245 catches, 4,377 yards, 20 receiving touchdowns. He tied Marcus Colston for the team's leader in receptions. He had 7 catches, 63 yards in the Super Bowl. Robert Meacham caught 2 passes, 6 yards. Lance Moore caught 2 passes, 21 yards. And I think he had the 2-point conversion, I want to say.
Lance.
Yes, Lance Moore did. The 2-point right. conversion. So all three of these guys, you know, the one that I would question the most is Robert Meacham. I think maybe I'm overvaluing Robert Meacham. I might put Robert Meacham toward the bottom of this list in terms of.
I'd probably bump Lance to the top of those guys.
Yeah, I think if I, you know, I'm going to reorder this in real time, but yeah. I would probably put Robert down toward 23. Put Devery at 22 and put Lance at 21 as I'm looking at this again. And I kind of weigh the stats because his Robert's stats, it feels like he was more impactful than he was over the course, or it feels like he was more impactful than the stats maybe make it out to be. He was with the Saints for 4 seasons. One of them was that Super Bowl season. That was also his best year. He had 45 catches, 722 yards, and 9 touchdowns. He had 5 touchdowns and 6 touchdowns in 2010, 2011, 45, 44, 40 catches over those years, plus 600 yards over those years. You know, he was just an effective part of the offense. But I think from a weaponized perspective of like who made a bigger impact, it would definitely be Lance and Devery. Lance Moore is in the Team Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. Devery just went to the Team Hall of Fame recently. Is Lance in there already?
Yeah, he's definitely in.
Yeah. And so Lance was here 2006 through 2013. You know, with the Saints, he had 346 catches, 4,281 yards, 38 touchdowns. It's hard to separate those three guys, is my point. I think they're all in the scope of, like, I put a lot of value on that Super Bowl team. I think they are all key contributors there. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm curious as to what people think on this subject because I have a hard time separating them in that group, and that's why I kind of put them all, you know, 23 through 21.
You kind of, you know, we've talked a little about Tracy Porter obviously having some massive moments. And to me, Robert Meacham has one of the greatest plays in football I've ever seen when he ripped the ball out of that Miami, you know, defender's hand after a Drew Brees pick.
I think Moore. I want to say it was Cameron Moore. Yeah, they called I don't know what everyone else calls it, but I only call it the Meach around.
Nice. I've not heard that one. Bravo.
Yeah. And yeah. So yeah, Drew Brees threw an interception. Robert Meacham ripped it out. And not like, and the great part of that play is not only that he stole the ball back, he scored a touchdown. Right?
I've never seen that since. It's amazing.
One of the greatest football moments you'll ever see in terms of, you know, Malcolm Jenkins had a similar big play. I can't remember what it was.
Was it against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I can't remember the context of it, but he had a similar play. He didn't score a touchdown, but like it was Roy Williams. He had basically a touchdown, and Malcolm Jenkins like chased them down, just ripped the ball away. I think that was maybe his rookie season. I think he was still playing cornerback at that point. But so that's 25 through 21. Taysom Hill, Eric McCoy, Devery Henderson, Lance Moore, Robert Meacham. How you feeling?
It's looking good. You definitely were going through some names, and it's like, you know, brings back the memories. And then even with some guys now, like you wish you had someone like a Lance Moore on this roster, a possession kind of receiver, you know, you could go to.
No question. Yeah. And as I go through this list, I feel like I'm undervaluing the defensive players to some extent. You know, as I'm breaking it down in like exhaustive detail, I do feel like, you know, you could argue Marcus Williams should be higher on this list.
But the Minnesota miss puts him weight, hurts him a little.
When I talk about emotions driving some of my decisions on this list, that's definitely up there. And the fact that he didn't sign a second contract here, it's not necessarily his fault, but like a Jabari Greer probably should be a little higher. Kenny Vaccaro, Trey Hendrickson, you know, it's not necessarily his fault. You got the Scots, you got Fujita and Shanley, good players.
Hendrickson really blew up when he left, unfortunately.
Well, he had that. No, he had a really big year his final year here.
It was like gangbusters.
Right. So we'll see. But hey, it's too late now. The list is made. But all right, that's going to wrap up that segment. We're going to come back. We're going to do 20 through 16. This is where it starts to get really, really dicey. That's going to be the final segment for this episode. We're going to do 15 through 1 in the next episode. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Diller. Stick around.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.